remember to always always put it on somebody like that. When dealing with God, you have to be constantly aware of Him at all moments. Even in the midst of unaware moments, you have to be aware. I know that sounds funny. But you have to be constantly aware of Him doing something and speaking to you at any given time. I know we set time apart to, you know, say spend time with God, right? Set time apart to spend time with God. But does that mean you're not spending time with Him other times? All the time should be spending time with God. My father always told me, practice the presence of God. I mean, and get along. I know we do jobs. I know we have different things. I know the things that come up that don't seem as spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Don't seem as deep. We think the word revelation is Holy Spirit revealing things to us. We think about a message or some kind of prophecy. I thought I should just do this. A lot of times the Holy Ghost will reveal to you by saying, step up. You're talking too much right now. That's a revelation from God. And maybe you don't know you're talking too much. And maybe I'm serious. That could be the Holy Ghost revelation by telling you in your car, slow down. You see, we cannot put God in a box and make Him talk to us like we want Him to talk. We got to let Him be God. Let Him be who He is. There's greatness in being in a relationship with God, but we only get so much because we box it. We try to box Him into what we want to be. If it steps out of the parameters of what's normal to us, and we try to, I don't know if I can do all that. I don't know if I can go over there. When He's so expansive, you can't even put Him in a box. And so when dealing with God, you have to be open to Him at all moments. It's not God will sneak up on you, still small voice. He'll talk to you, and it ain't be no thunder and lightning, might just be. Sometimes God will answer questions that you didn't even ask. Sometimes God, I've seen the Holy Spirit ask a question to you and then answer it for you. It's all about being aware. He doesn't mean they are. And we're talking about this book and making His word real to us. And He said, I thought I asked, but I didn't really ask because I wasn't even thinking about it. I'm sitting there, and this is the middle of the day. I wasn't praying in tongues. I didn't leave right out of prayer when this happened. I don't even know. I think I left out of a meeting about the light. I'm sitting there, and he said, why did Paul have such an intense moment with God? He said, why did Paul have such an intense moment? You know the story. Paul was Saul before. Y'all know Saul, right? What Saul was doing? Going to persecute the church. And it ain't persecuting like we know. We know persecution. Somebody talking about me. No, he's killing them. Oh, you believe Jesus died and rose again? It's time for you to die. He's killing them. Oh, he's killing them. Saul, and we know the experience he had with God, and then we know Paul. But this experience between Saul and Paul was an intense moment with God. I want you to write down the word intense. I'll start off with the word intentional. Then write the word intent. Then write the word intend with the D at the end. And I want you to write the last word intense and circle it. This was an intense moment with God. It wasn't normal. It wasn't a little nug on the shoulder. It wasn't a little tap on the back. It was an intense moment with God when He was riding and got knocked off His horse. He said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul? I'm the one you persecuted." Intense moment with God. Knocked Him off His rocker. And I said, "Well, Lord, why did Paul have such an intense moment with you? I can't have a knock off the horse moment? I'm not kidding nobody, but I wouldn't mind if you knocked me out of my car and open up the sky and start talking to me. We look for those things, right? The burning bush moments, right? We're looking for those things." He said, "Why was the moment so intense?" He said, "Because Paul was an intense individual. He had intense character. Even before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he was intense in what he was doing. Realize he wasn't going trying to push against the church. He was telling them. And Saul thought that he was right. It wasn't, you know, who's calling the bad guy? He was doing bad back then. No, Saul thought he was doing right. Saul knew the law better than everybody. And so Saul said, oh, y'all got it wrong. Y'all got it twisted. The Jesus Christ said, y'all messed up. I got to kill y'all. Because y'all ain't trying to listen. He was intense. We're not talking about Carlton passing out some flyers to boycott. We're not talking about boycott. He killing them, y'all. He was murdering them. That means he was, I mean, that's it. Murder is bigger than this. And he had his mind made up. I'm going to the city, and everybody say Jesus is going to die. Straight up. I got it on my mind, you're not going to change it. He was intense about it. So the moment that he had with God had to be an intense moment in order to change from Saul to Paul, because the Paddy Pink wouldn't have done it. It had to be, but the Lord said, I said, well, why the moment was intense? He said, because he was intense. He was an intense individual, and his intensity demanded intensity. His intensity as an individual demanded intensity from God. And so now we know Saul, intense moment, intense the wrong way, intense moment with God, intense after God. You know what Paul did. You know Paul spread the gospel more than anybody, right? You know, Paul, if Paul was the second most important person in Christianity, Jesus, of course, was number one, right? And he was the most important because he spread it to most of the world. Most of the people that know about Jesus Christ and Christianity right now was spread by Paul, even to this day. It was intense. He had an intense moment, God had an intense relationship with God because he was an intense individual. He had intensity in his makeup. He didn't do anything by happenstance or by hobby or because he liked to do it. He was totally in love with it. He was totally enthralled by God. He was totally caught up and had an insatiable desire after what God wanted. He was intense with everything that he did. And so now, your intensity breeds intense moments with God. You have normal moments with God. You don't really see God the word you read and it becomes dull to you. That's because you're approaching it that way. Mark 4:24. I'm probably, I want these intense moments with God. I want God to come speak to me. God talk to me. God do something special, right? This is what we want. But the scripture tells me, and he said, Mark to the fourth story, he said, take heed what you hear. Watch this. It says, with what measure you meet, what it says? Y'all not there yet? Mark 4:24. You ready to add it? With what measure you meet, what it says? Stop. With what measure you mean, it shall be what? Say it again. With what measure you mean, it shall be what? So that means, what does that mean to you? Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. Straight up. Huh? You set the tone. Same measure you go with, the same measure you're going to get. Whatever you be not deceived, God is not mine. Whatever a man does, shall he also reap. So now, what measure I mean is going to be measured to me. So what measure I mean is going to be measured to me. So I get five, it's going to be measured to me in the five level. So I've been having normal moments with God. It's only because I've been pursuing normal. The word becomes normal is because I treat it normal. You only get out what you put in. So if your intensity is not there, and you don't have a high level of intensity. I look at the word intensity. I look at my phone. It's talking about a strong desire. It's just a strong emotion. You focus on it. When you're intense. You ever somebody say you're intense? You ever talk about it? You ever met somebody else intense? You know, y'all probably like, you're doing the most. You're doing too intense with it. Yeah. Whoa, like somebody just way over the tail, they over the top. But being intense, a lot of times, those be the people that get somewhere you'll never get to. You're doing the most. You ever heard that saying before? You're doing too much. What is too much for saying God? You pursue after him. What is, yeah, you read too much. Really? Can you really read too much? You bring all time. Well, can I really pray too much when it comes down to God? We're never always going to catch up with him. No. We always pursue. So what measure I meet is the measure that I'm going to receive. What measure that I put out is the measure that I'm going to receive from it. So now this person that goes across life, but now with this word of God, what measure that I put into it determines what I'm going to get out of it. If I approach it like it's regular, it's going to be regular to me. I got a good one. You ready? You want the word to yield to you? You want the word of God to yield to you? You want to hear things, something new, something fresh, right? Approach it like you don't know. Philippians chapter 3. You have to be, and this is sometimes you preaching when you hear, you talk a certain way, it almost sounds like it don't make sense, but it makes sense. You have to be familiar with God, with the Word. You have to be familiar yet unfamiliar. There's a way, a lot of people can't be around apostles. I got another name for him. I call him Danny. All right. A lot of people can't be around him a lot. A lot of people can't be around him because they don't understand how to make the shift. I've been with him all my life. Well, I was my physical father. And it came a point in time in my life when I had to realize that he wasn't just my physical father, he was my spiritual father. He wasn't just my dad, but he was my leader. I had to realize my mother was always telling me, said, boy, you stop looking at him. He said, you can't. He told all me and my siblings, you can't look at him as just your daddy. Alright? You gotta look at him as your man of God. You gotta look at him as your leader in spirit. And I had to learn, still do now, make this trip. I love to talk to him today on the side before I come to the back. I love to talk with him today. I talk to him and I talk, but my relationship with him, I'm familiar with him because I know him, but I'm unfamiliar. I always have an unfamiliar feeling. This is how you be in this world but not of this world. Watch this. This is how Jesus was able to do this, but not become familiar with God, even though he was one with him. Standing there with him, and I'm talking to him. It's my daddy. It's my physical daddy. But yet I keep myself in an unfamiliar moment because I don't know when he's going to switch and start being my man of God. Yeah, we talk, laugh, but I don't know what he's gonna say next. So I cannot become familiar with him. Oh, that's just daddy. That's my daddy, y'all. They don't even talk like that. That's really my daddy. I'd rather call him daddy in front of y'all. Y'all hear me say, hey, dad about to come on. There's a familiarity, but an unfamiliarity. It's almost like I'm living in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm a spirit being, but I'm in a physical body. Right? I'm supposed to be living like I'm in heaven, but I'm still here on this earth. It's mastering that duality. It's mastering that. It makes you walk the way God wants you to walk. Being mastered that thing. To be able to be a man, yet God. Master that. So now, you have to be familiar, yet unfamiliar. Hey, look at the word familiar. Familiar is kind of like family. You know, almost the same root word, they're all in the same place. And it talks about intimate relationship. Having an intimate relationship, familiar, right? But also, familiarity sometimes can make you not appreciate a thing because you done got used to it. Because it's become normal to you. And so you become familiar, not you get an intimate relationship, but you become familiar, you're close to interrelated, but then now you become familiar with not, oh, that's just such and such. Oh, that's just the Bible. How long have you been saved? I've been saved all my life. Can't become familiar with my salvation. Man. I can't become familiar with the moves of the Spirit. I can't become familiar with the Word of God like that. Yes, I do want to have an intimate relationship with God. Yes, I do want to have an intimate relationship with His Word. I got to be familiar yet unfamiliar. How do I do this? I gotta be in yet out. Still trying to get in. Y'all see that? I'm already in the family, but I act like I'm not in the family, like I'm still trying to get in. Even in relationships with other people. You know, I was talking to one of my young dudes and I said, how you were when you first met that girl? You hollered, you brought out your A game. Yeah, they say, right? You brought all your best lines out at first. Why? Because you were trying to win. But then when you won and you got a number finally, and got to come to you a little bit, now y'all been talking for a little while, not regular. Because you done got familiar. You done got used. It's not that. The girl don't have nothing else to show you another layer that they're unfolding on their mind and it's just being teaching them. They're not that it ain't there, but you just become familiar to them. Because you're familiar, you can't receive the greatness. Yet unfolding. Everybody say, yet unfolding. Come on, say, yet unfolding. Even imagine you're going to yet unfolding. You just, if you approach it with an understanding, and I'm not saying, you know, be familiar, but unfamiliar. If you approach it with the greatness on the inside, the understanding that is yet unfolding, then it will yet unfold. But the moment that you become familiar, and it's a relationship, you can do it with your children, with your spouses, with your friends. If I become normal with it, then it becomes normal to me. And I can't even see the great things on the inside. And it's so intense at the beginning because it's something, it might be something new. It might be fresh to you. But you have to, watch this, you have to live every day like it's new. I told him last week, I said, again, apostles are the word that he just got saved yesterday. That's how he said it. Like in the morning, tomorrow, the other day, he's going to study like he didn't know God today. No, I'm serious. He's going to study the next time, whatever next day, let's say he starts in 39. The next time he goes study and starts speaking after God, he's going to do it like he didn't know nothing about him before. How long have you been on? 40-something years. He's been through miracles after all manifestation, all these different things that God has done, but I'm still seeking after him like I don't know it. Because I don't know it. You'll never know God enough. You don't never know this word of God enough to where you become familiar with it. When you become familiar with it, it just becomes normal. Do y'all get what I'm saying? If it becomes commonplace, then it becomes commonplace. So the Bible all the time. And I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Word of God. You have to keep it fresh. You don't keep it fresh. What measure you need, you want the Word to yield to you, approach it like it's brand new. Approach them scriptures. Somebody quote me one of your favorite scriptures. Anybody got a favorite scripture? Anybody got a favorite one? Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know Jesus. Uh-huh. Anybody got a favorite scripture? Quote scripture that you know. Thank you for giving me the scripture. Everybody, like, I don't know what the word of God say. I ain't got no word in me. It might be one of your first favorite scriptures. It might be something that you know, but you approach it like you don't know it. You know, we did that earlier this semester, and we did the, what scripture was we did? Was it that one? Was that one or was it Psalms? Huh? Yeah, I don't remember. What was it? What, Lord My Shepherd, said I want. We were talking about that Lord My Shepherd, said I want. Y'all remember that? And you remember, we got a revelation out there, because we started living by the book. We like, oh, still, I didn't even see this up here. How long have we been reading that? What novel? But you approach it like you don't know it, and it'll grow in you. You'll learn, man, it's this word, man. This word of God. This word of God. This word of God is yet unfolded. There's so much in there. Just when you think you know it, it'll show you something different. I done learned so much stuff in this past year that I just didn't know. I've been preaching. Y'all been preaching. I've been sitting in church forever. But it's just yet unfolded. It's just yet unfolded if you approach it that way. So now, what measure I meet is measure to me. What measure I meet is measure to me. Right? You're not going to go across the board now. Just go across the board. Everything get old when you treat it old. Everything is regular when you treat it regular. Everything is normal when you treat it normal. You know, you can almost become familiar with God. And so now God starts speaking. But you don't. You dull in here. You ain't hear nothing because you just expect it to be. This is why even with that grace message had to be straightened out. Because you got to be on your toes. Otherwise, you're going to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And it get old. And ain't no more intensity. Ain't no more accountability for you. So measure you need, it's going to be measured back to you. However you treat it, that's what you're going to get out of it. And so Philippians 3, it's Paul saying it's verse 7, but what things were the gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is what he's saying. You might want to read this on your own. He says, For whom I covered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. You know what dung is, right? Y'all know what dung is? Oh, cool. I count them but dung, that I may win. That I may win what? That I may win what? Wait, but what is talking about win Christ? What does it mean that I may win Christ? What does that mean? Because at this time, we're Philippians right now, right? Are we in Philippians? That means Jesus already died, right? So Paul already saved, man. What are you talking about? I found out dumb talk about winning Christ. What does it mean? What are you talking about winning Christ? What does this mean? What is this mindset that you're trying to win Christ? I thought you already were given Christ. I thought you already were, you're born again. What do you mean? I found out dumb so that I can win Christ. He's trying to get a point across. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is love, but having that through the faith of Christ, that the righteousness of God by faith. Watch this, verse 10, you read it, really read. I need to read it with some intensity, because every time I hear the scripture, I hear it. I don't hear it. That I may know him in the power. Ready? Read. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what he's saying. That I know him and the power of his resurrection. And the person of the Son is being made conformed unto his death. What he's saying is that I can know him to the point to where I can be like him. I can be conformable just like him. To know him that much that I'll be to the measure of the sacrifice for Christ, Jesus 4, right? That I know him that much that I can be like he was. That I found all lost. Because I want my own righteousness. You know, you get to learn a lot of scriptures and you become righteous on your own thing. On my third, I'm not supposed to remember. No, remember our scriptures. Learn them. Write about our scriptures. But just realize that you still got work to do. If by any means I might have painted the resurrection of the dead. Watch this. Verse 12. Huh? Either not as though I already attained. What does it mean attained? What does it mean attained something? You got it already, huh? But not like I already got it. Or that I'm already good right now. Not like that. He said, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Because the brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I found not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth with those things which to those things which are before, verse 14 read. I remember what he told me yesterday, I'm going to get a little journal, because I want to remember the words that the Lord told me, but I can't forget. I have to forget some old things to get that new thing. Any of y'all ate food today? Who ate today? So, anybody ate today? Like you ate food. And you get together. I didn't even eat. Oh, but you get something to eat. You ate today, right? Did you eat? Was it good? Okay, cool. Now imagine that stays in. Till tomorrow, you don't have no movie. Y'all, ladies, forgive me for the crew that I'm saying, but you have no movie. So stays in. I cut it off, but don't eat that shit, all right? That's perfect, ain't it? Come on, let's go, fuck. But imagine staying there. As good as it was, it's gone now. It's fleeting. the sensation or whatever it was that you ate today, it's gone. It's gone the moment you put it in your mouth, it's gone. Amen? But it ends at the same time. Right? Imagine the state. Except tomorrow. And you don't make no more room for nothing else. You just hold on to yesterday's food. Yesterday's food was so good. Man, that food yesterday was good. You ain't gonna appreciate what happened today. You ain't gonna fit what happened today. It's gonna be sitting. It's gonna be a problem. Right? Why would that be any different? I thought everything I've ever done. I'll do the job. Because he got something new to feed me today. It don't mean you forget the fact that you like that burger from that place. You like that burger from wherever it is from, or whatever it is that you ate earlier. I like it. It doesn't mean that you can't revisit it. It doesn't mean you can't revisit it. It doesn't mean you can't get it again. It doesn't mean, you know, because once you find out how to get the way, you know how to get there. Little hole in the wall, soul food joint. Once you find out how to get there, you know how to get there already, right? And you've been there. So it doesn't mean that you can't get there no more. It doesn't mean that you can't visit that place to pull that back up whenever you need to pull it back up. Are y'all with me? But I can't stay there. I can't go to the place to eat me and sit there forever and then wait till we're further to get them all. Right? I got to move ahead. And so I press. Not at all, though I already attained. I don't act like I already know it. I don't act like preachers. One thing about preachers. Let me tell you about preachers. The biggest problem preachers have is pride and ego. The biggest problem the church has as a whole is pride, ego, and a wrong relationship with self. What's the biggest problem? It's not a devil. He got no power. It's not a devil. It's not him. It's not no demon power. The demon power works between you because you away from God. It's not none of that. It's pride ego. It's pride turning an angel into a demon. It's pride will turn an angel into a demon. I don't care how it turns the most pride in it will mess up. I don't care what you've done before now. I don't care what you're talking about, how many people you got saved. The most pride in it, you're going to mess it up. What if Jesus would have had pride? He was like, well, I'm Jesus. You know, I'm God on earth. You know, Jesus told me, he said, you don't take my life. I lay it down. You know, I'm calling these names right now and wipe y'all out. Right? He said, but no, that's not the point. You know, the point is to show you how strong I am. How many steps I know. Not as though I've already attained. I count all the loss. Not as though I've already attained. In verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. It did not say I roll in. It did not say I crawl in. It did not say I scoot in. He said I what? I press. What's press? A press is another word that has press in it. It goes a little further. It's called presser. Applying presser to the word of God. Applying presser to this thing. Put intensity. Everybody say intensity. Intensity. You can't have intense anointing, or you can't have your message won't have an intense impact, or you cannot have an intense lifestyle with a nonchalant pursuit. You know, nonchalant, I don't get it, but I'm not gonna get it. It won't work. It's all or nothing. Where to go home? Do you want it or do you not want it? Paul told me some long time ago, I'm telling you, God told me something. He stood me up and said, listen. He said, you're going to be one of the greatest people to walk the face of this earth. You're going to be one of the greatest fans that's going to touch this earth. He told me this person, I said, Lord. Shout out to him. He started praying in tongues. You know, that's impressive. What you said, he gave no will. Ain't no mediocre. He's just going to be or I ain't going to be. Can I get a C plus G? No. You either going to have an A100 or you're going to have not a CCF, a zero F. You got to, what if that was a choice? What if that was a choice? You know, we become the grace of God, the love of God be helping us out. you know, let us stay in our mediocre ways. What if that was the choice? What if there was no other choice but 100 or 0? And what if you didn't have 100, you got a 0? Everybody was pretending like that's why I had to school. One question. You have to do one question test? It's a one question test. Ain't no 50-50 answer. You get it right or you get it wrong. 100 or 0. 0 out of 1 is a 0. 1 out of 1 is 100. What if that was the course? What if that was the course of the measurement of our intensity as a God? Our intensity as His Word. I had people see me sleep in church. They got sleep problems. They got church around there. You know, they sleep. I'm sleeping. I think because it's not important enough to you. I get tired more than you. And I'm saying, but when that word starts coming out, I'm feeding in and try to see what's going on. I said, maybe not, you're not thinking about it. Maybe you're not thinking about it. And, well, you know, I tried. So what about what if it was you stay up all the time? Eyes will be bright and bushy. What if it, you know, you're going to sleep. Hey, everybody got to any beautiful choice. They ain't that like that. That's true life. Maybe we'll be living on the earth, but if you don't, yeah, all right, sleep or die. Or stay up or die. Right? But everybody be wide awake, boy. Just that nigga on board the street. You know what I'm saying? We be trying to do all kinds of stuff, right? Right? Because it'd be that, what if it was that? No. That ain't the requirement, but that's the requirement. Alright, you're gonna go to heaven. You're gonna live all right here. Alright. It's not the requirement, but it's the requirement. Like, if you're not going to go all the way, quit. Quit this for the day. If you're not going to go all the way and be as intense as you can after the Word of God, after God's will, stop. Give it the thing for you. I feel like that about Christianity, about being a Christian. Either I'm going to go or I'm not going to go. Y'all see that? That is not the requirement, but that's the requirement. Yeah, in the grand span of things, you can be mediocre. You can be mediocre with tomorrow. You can just kind of have a thing. God ain't going to crack you down. He ain't going to be mad at you. He ain't going to do nothing to you. But you realize that you will not ever reach that intense moment with Him. Unless somebody else leads you in there. Unless you get in the congregation. Those intense personal moments with God, you ain't going to get them by falling into that. You got pressed into it. You don't accidentally get to the presence of God. There was an intention. Root word, intent. This word will live to you if you treat it that way. Not that I already attained. Not that I already knew. Not that I know the scripture already. Just like you put the word on the screen with the apostles, and for a while you don't want to do it because, you know, as soon as you hear John 3:16, what John 3:16 say? That's a lot of work, man. I know that one. So now you can pour it in your head. And you miss the revelation that might come forth at the end of the chapter or the end of the scripture. You missed it because you supposed to be familiar with that scripture. I also made a scripture until I realized God so loved the world. He said, you see, I so loved it, right? And I realized it. And in the scriptures, I go back and I go like, I don't know, and I realize I'm skipping over words. I'm skipping over parts. There's intensity and maybe a two-letter word that changes the whole meaning of this scripture. It gives a whole deeper meaning in my heart about what He was trying to say to me. He so loves me. You don't become familiar with it, I'll never see it. I'll never reach the soul love. I'll never realize how intense that love is for me. Because I approached it like it was normal. I approached it like it was regular. I approached it like it was just whatever. Not like I already got it. Not like I already got it. I tell y'all two things about the problem. You said the word. And he said the word. He said the word like he just got to tell me. He worked like a poor man. I know he ain't poor, right? Huh? But he worked where he got nothing. He go after. He listen. I come some weeks. So we listen. I see him that week, about 6 8 years old. And he'd be 69, he'd be 60 something in August. Right? I see him coming here and do a young man's job. He'll do a young man's week work the preach. I see him come in, lead crap, listen to the people in class, come teach his class on Tuesday night, teach Bible study on Wednesday night, just fly somewhere to somebody else's church. Every Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, come back here, chill out a little while Saturday, and back on Sunday, and it ain't none of it there. What's the time it is? What's the legal? You know, 65, he's three fast. You know, this is like dope retirement, you know, everything paid for. You got, you know, all these things going on. Mental flaws, you got grown kids, big kids and stuff, and it, you know, seems like it's time to go ahead.
Like I ain't even there.
It's like, how do you wake up? How do you wake up in a mansion that still plays God like you're in a broke down house? How you got it, but you still praise Him like you're trying to get it? See, here's why there are people that reach. That's certain level, they keep going up, but some people just kind of level off. Some people never even go there. This is why we won't go to the next level, because sometimes God knows that if we had it, we'd be different. I'm going to talk about myself, because y'all don't want to talk about y'all. I'm going to talk about myself. Myself, what you going to do? You got $1 million tomorrow. You going to sleep in? I'm going to lay in bed. I'm going to quit this job. I get it. But sometimes the job ain't about that check. It might be about who you come in contact with at that job. You know, talk about the fact that, you know what you are. Boss, I'm ready to get up. You're so busy trying to get off the job that you can't be what you're supposed to be on the job. Because you can come for me. I'm not saying you got to like it. It may not be your thing. But there's a reason for it all. There is no coincidence. There's a reason for it all. So why are you... He said, Paul talked about being grateful, being joyful when he was fruitful and when he was abased. He was talking about being the same way across the board. You know, patience has everything to do. Patience is not about waiting. Patience is about having the same demeanor no matter what comes along. No matter then, now, or coming later, I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing in the beginning. That's what patience is really about. So now I'm on this job. I don't know why I'm talking about the job. I don't know why I like the job. In where you at right now, be what you should be then. And God is watching. I said to my membership, my Ms. Heavenly, no family said, God is watching, talking about the tent, you see in the dark, right? No. God is watching to see where your faithfulness is right where you are. Where your faithfulness is right where you are. Pursuing God, right? Pursuing God, right where I'm at. Even if it's like a job, it don't seem like it's too spiritual. But I'm pursuing God in that. God, what's your will for me to be here in this? What is going on? Now pursue. I'm pursuing God. Pursue. Focus. Focus on the pursuit and not the outcome. Always focus on the pursuit, not the outcome. You got to pray where you are, not because you want to move to the next place, but I just want to be faithful. I just want to be found faithful. Yes, press. I got to say it for you. Apostle was saying, and our leader said, and then the host said, he said, yeah, you got to press. You press. You should press. You should press. But your pressing does not change God's process. It just prepares you for promotion. Your person don't change his process, because his process is still, you got to learn. His process is, you still got to learn how to be faithful where you are. The process is you still got, there's some things that I still got to get off your edges. And sometimes it takes going through this, or this job, I keep saying this job to do it. So I can't be thinking about, I'm looking at tomorrow and I ain't even doing what I'm supposed to do today. Let's go back to the East, boy. I'm going to eat Sunday, boy. I can't wait to eat Sunday. And you don't eat today. Well, you a few days like that. You still think about Sunday. We got a little while for Sunday, don't we? Something's going to happen. The process of it. I have to press it. My intention has to be to know more. Well, why would we read the word anyway? Why would we read the word? Because they told us to? Come on, why would we read the word? Because they told us to? Because we're scared that God's not going to be cool with us not reading it? Oh, come on. What do we need the word for? I really be asking. Go ahead, what's it? Because you love it. Why you read the word? Come on. So flow. Come on. Why you read the word? Ain't nobody else. I ain't looking for the word. As long as you ain't saying nothing like ridiculous, I ain't looking for the word. I'm asking you, why you do it? Hello? Shalom. Come on. Shalom. Come on. To get to know him. To be more aware of him. That's what we're doing, right? So if I want to become more aware, if I want to learn, if I want to flow, if I want to love him, if I want to do these things, if you keep going, well, when is it that you know God? Huh? When is it that you all right, well, I got another question. Here's another good one. I got another question. When is it that you know all of God? When is it that you love him enough? When is it that you flowed enough with God? When is it? Is there a time? Is there a line? No. I'm ever increasing, ever learning. Not as though I've already attained, but I pray. Even though I attained a few, you know, I attained some, I got 20 years of ministry. Some people talking about 20, 30 years. Nobody don't care about that. Apostle, can I give y'all one? Apostle celebrating 40 years of ministry. And we were trying to do a celebration for him. You know, because everybody wants to celebrate, you know, 40 years. He said, I don't want to do it. I don't know what to think about all that. When the Lord told me to be an apostle, they gave him the call of apostle. We want to honor him. I'm not doing no celebration. What? It's 40 years, though. I'm not doing no celebration. I can't think about that. Let's get to work. See, we got to get there. Not as though I already got it. I got 40 years under my belt, but I'm working like it's new this year. This is my first year of ministry. Can you do it? If you can ever get there and do that, if you can do that, then the word of God will yield to you like you've never seen it before. If you can do it, God's voice will yield to you like you've never heard it before. We go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, huh? Yeah, how many weeks? Every week, right? Right? And you get used to worshiping the same song. We sing a song on Sunday, I'm gone. We sing a song on Sunday. And it says, we are coming to this house, gather his name, worship him, right? You know this song? Then you get to that part there, so forget about yourself, concentrate on him. I lost it. You know how long I've been singing that song? I've been singing that song since a little boy. Tell me, please. Oh, that's old music. We're singing the same song. What's all about how you approach it? You approach it like a Negro spiritual, it's going to be that to you. Because the words are good, ain't it? We come to this house, gathering name to worship. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on. I got to that first concert and lost my head. Been singing it for 30 all my years, but I approached it differently. And because I approached it differently, I got. Now y'all do that with y'all family members too. Do it with y'all family members, y'all friends, and stuff like that too. Stop. See them normal. They gonna be normal. Everybody's getting unfolded. Everybody got some more layers of greatness on the inside of them. Well, they don't know be great for me. It's because you ain't seen them that way. It's your fault. They ain't that great. It's your fault. Bless you.